Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues teaching us different situations where somebody is allowed to be killed in order to prevent an aver from happening. Says the Mishnah, "Ve'elahen shemetzilan oisam v'nafshan." These are the situations where we're allowed to save somebody from doing an avera, even if it means killing the person. If somebody's running after someone else to kill him, or somebody's running after a male, another zocher, to sodomize him, the halacha is to avoid mishkav zocher, we're allowed to kill. Or somebody is running after nar hamarasa, here too the halacha is we're allowed to kill the person trying to do the savera. Aval, says the Mishnah, however, haroid of acha behema, if somebody is running after an animal to do mishka behema, or hamachalas a shabbos, or oivet avodit kachavim, in these cases, emet zilan avsham ben avsham, we don't kill to prevent these averis. And the Mepharshim point out the reason why these averis are the averis that are specifically pointed out is because, as we will mitzvashem learn in our Gemara, we might have thought the Gemara gives reason to believe that by these averus the halacha ought to be that we should kill the person that's going to try to do the avera, try to get someone else to do these averus. That's why the Mishnah had to specify that in these cases we do not kill the person trying to get someone else to do the avera. Furthermore, the Meiri says that even though our Mishnah clearly indicates that we're allowed to kill to prevent doing this avera, the halacha still is that we have to do everything in our ability to prevent having to have to kill someone to prevent from doing an avera. And therefore, we should give the proper warning, or we should do whatever we can to prevent such from happening. The Yerushalmi asks a very interesting question. Our Mishnah says that if somebody is running after someone else to kill him, if somebody is running after you if somebody's chasing someone else, if Reuven is chasing Shimon with the intent, Reuven trying to kill Shimon, Shimon has a right to kill Reuven. Ask the Yerushalmi, what would be exactly in such a situation where Reuven is pursuing Shimon? Shimon, recognizing the situation, turns on Reuven. Will the tables turn, and will now Shimon be considered the roidif, with Reuven being allowed to kill Shimon? So the Mepharshim suggest that certainly under those circumstances Reuven may do whatever it takes to prevent himself from getting killed by the person he is being pursued, Shimon. However, the Mishnah Lamelech discusses another situation. As our Mishnah teaches us, if Reuven is pursuing Shimon, not only may Shimon take up self-defense, but anyone seeing this situation happening is allowed to do anything to stop Reuven from harming Shimon. What would be the halacha if Reuven recognizes this situation, that there's a third individual, there's a third party doing something here to prevent Reuven from being able to do damage to Shimon, and Reuven, seeing this, takes action against that third party? Is Reuven allowed to do that or not? The Mepharshim, the Mishnah Lamelech, clearly indicates that Reuven has no right to do so. For Reuven, should just stop pursuing Shimon, and there won't be any issue further. The Meches Chinuch asks a question that we know that the halacha is that if somebody wants to be over a mitzvah say, Makanoisoi, the Gemara says Masechta Chulin, Makanoisoi Achateisoi Nafshei, we do everything to stop him from doing the Aveira. And the same thing is by Erni Loisa say. So the question is, our Mishnah seems to single out these three first averus that the Mishnah mentioned. But why are these three averus different than all other averus that we have an obligation to stop anybody from doing an avera? So one teretz is, as we learned in the previous year, that a roidif doesn't require hasra. In all other situations, if I want to stop somebody from doing an avera, and even if I want to physically stop him, I have to first give him an avera, a hasra. The most fundamental answer is as follows. In these three, in all averas, if I see somebody doing an avera, I have to do everything in my ability to stop him from doing the avera. However, I don't have to have a third priority get involved. In these cases that our Mishnah lists, where Reuven is trying to force Shimon to do the avera, so not only there's an obligation of a roidif, that everybody has the obligation, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, of leisamen adam reyecha, to do anything that we can to be matzel the person from the avera. Another pshat is that in the normal situation where a person is doing an avera and we have an obligation to stop him from doing an avera, that is only an obligation on Beis Din. Here the obligation is on every single individual person by himself. The Mefarshim also ask that how could the Mishnah have considered that I should stop, if somebody wants to be Mechal Shabbos, I should do everything in my power to be Mechal, to stop him from being Mechal Shabbos. Why isn't this a situation where why should I be Mechal Shabbos, that in order he should be Mechal Shabbos, that he should not be Mechal Shabbos? So the Mefarshim answer that perhaps we would think that the issue of preventing Chil Shabbos is so important that even my Chil Shabbos should be overridden in order to prevent someone else's being Mechal Shabbos and getting into that habit. That's why the Mishnah had to teach us that so is not the halacha. In general, as we speak about this sugya, about Haroid of Acha Chaveroi, if somebody is pursuing someone else, we have an obligation to do everything in our power to stop that individual from getting harmed. We need to understand, the Achrayim discussed this at great length as we go through the various sugyas, what is the reason? Is the purpose to punish the person who's doing this horrible crime, that is pursuing someone else to kill him? Or is the purpose to save the individual? The most obvious nafkamina the Achrayim give is in a situation where 10 people are pursuing one individual, and none of those 10 individuals has the ability on his own to really kill the victim. If we say that the purpose is to punish the pursuer, here there is no roidif that should really be considered a roidif. But if, on the other hand, we say the purpose is to save the nirdof, so then here too, this person is a mortal danger, and we therefore have the obligation to do everything we can to save him. There are different rayas to this question. Some of the rayas are based on a Gemara that we've already learned. We've learned in the previous Gemara that a katan that's pursuing someone else, we're allowed to stop him. If the point is to punish the roidif, a katan, as we know, is not a bar onshin. Similarly, we learned in our previous year, we mentioned in today's year already also, that a roidif doesn't have to get hasra before we do something to stop him. If it were as a punishment for what he's doing, certainly one is not supposed to get a punishment in halacha before he gets proper hasra. The Mefarshim, also the Noida Behuda, also discusses that if it were just a punishment, then that it must be a punishment, he proves, because if it was just to save the person who's being pursued, he says, so why is there more of a reason to save the person who's being pursued versus not killing the person who's pursuing? As we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, there's a concept in halacha, my chazis the dam of the day, sumak tfei. Why is the blood of the person being pursued more valuable than the blood of the pursuer? So from here we actually have a raya that the reason we kill the pursuer is as a punishment. So as we will, Mitzvah Shem, go through the sugya, we will bring different rayas. Is it a punishment for the raidif, or is the purpose to save the nirdif? Says the Gemara. How do we know if somebody's pursuing someone else? We could do whatever it takes to save the person, even if it means killing the pursuer. Tamalayim, the Torah says the words, ask the Gemara, is the purpose of the Pasuk to teach us this din? Don't we need this Pasuk to teach us the Halacha? How do we know that if see somebody is about to drown, or an animal is attacking him, or listen by a love, bandits are attacking him, do we have an obligation to save him? So this pasuk is teaching us that we have an obligation to save somebody. How do we know that this din even applies to kill a pursuer? It says the Gemara, you're right, the purpose of this pasuk is to teach us that we have an obligation to be matzel a Jew. Ask the Gemara, so if so, how do we know that to save a Jew we're even allowed to kill the pursuer? Answers the Gemara, we learn a kavachaymer from the halacha of a nar marasa, where the halacha, as our Mishnah taught us, is that if somebody is pursuing a nar marasa, man, that the halacha is that we're allowed to do anything to save her. And in that situation, man nar marasa shloi ba el lapagmai, all that happens to Naramarasa after the person will violate her, she'll still be very much alive. She will have been terribly debased, but she's still alive. Yet the Torah says we have a right to kill the person who's pursuing the Naramarasa. Amr Torah Nitan Latzila Benafshay, and we're soon going to learn the source for that halacha. So certainly in a situation of right of Achich Averoi, Lahargoy, we want to actually kill him, Alach's Kam V'Kama, we have a right to do whatever it takes to stop him. Tysus here makes a very important point. Tysus here says that how can we learn the halacha of Ritzicha from the halacha of Naramarasa? We know, as we have learned, the punishment for Ritzicha is Sayif. The punishment for somebody violating a Naramarasa is Skila. So isn't that a clear indication that Nara HaMaros is a much more severe Aveira than Ritzicha? And therefore I ask Taisvis, how can we learn Ritzicha from Nara HaMaros? Says Taisvis, the typical rules that we have always followed in judging what is considered a more serious Aveira and what is considered a less serious Aveira, which normally the way of judging that is based on the punishment the Torah sets forth. Here we don't follow punishments. Here what the Torah uses is the severity of the crime and serious, or the permanence rather of the crime. And certainly killing a person is a much more permanent situation than just debasing him. Ask the Gemara, can we learn something just based v'chi'onshim and adin? Can we just use a kal v'chomer to learn a halacha? We've learned that ain't onshim and adin, and we always explain the reason is because a kavachomer is based on logic, and logic could ultimately be refuted, and if the kavachomer is refuted, and we will have killed somebody. Here, the Noi de Behuda again uses this Gemara to prove that the halacha of right of achav haver lahargoy, that we're allowed to kill him, is a din of einish. It's not just a question of hatzala, because here our Gemara wants to apply the concept of chi oichim and adin, that we're punishing the right of. But if it's not a question of punishment, rather it's an issue of hatzala, what's the Gemara asking chi oichim and adin? So again, the Gemara is looking for a source for the din of our Mishnah, that a right of Acha Chaver Lahargoy, we have a right to do whatever it takes to stop that. Says the Gemara, the Rebbe Tani Hakeshahu. The way we know that Halacha is this way is we learn from a Hekesh. Because the Torah in the parish of Nara Hamarasa says the following words, L'Nara Leisasa Dover, Ein L'Nara Chet Mavis, Ki Keshiyokam Ish Al Re'eyu, Ritzach Nefesh Kena Davazeh. The Pasuk is teaching us that a Narah Marasa who is violated is not a person that is supposed to get a punishment, because the Pasuk says it's like a person who rises up against his fellow and murders him. So the Pasuk is comparing the situation of Nar Marasa to the issue of Ritzicha. The question is, what is the connection? What is the Torah trying to teach us from the halachas of Ritzicha to Nar Marasa? Says the Gemara, we have to raise a bala lamed. Although the Pasuk seems to be trying to teach something from Ritzicha to Nar Marasa, rather we turn around the tables. V'nim tzalamed. Actually, we're going to say we're learning something regarding Ritzicha for Nar Marasa. Makish Ritzeach l'Nar Marasa. The Torah compares these two situations. Man Nar Marasa, just like by Nar Marasa, as we will learn, the Allah is nitin l'tzila b'nafshay. We could do anything we can to, we do everything to save her. Av Ritzeach, the same thing, if somebody's pursuing someone else to kill him, nitin l'tzila b'nafshay, we do everything we can to stop the pursuer. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara, we kept on mentioning that a Nar Marasa, we do whatever we can to save her. Ask the Gemara, Nar Marasa Gufa Menolan. From where do we know that such is the halacha by Nar Marasa? Answers the Gemara, the Tana de Bei Rishmol. The Tana de Bei Rishmol, the Eima Shiela. The Pasuk says, Ki besodim atzara, tzaka hanara hamarasa, the Eima Shiela. That's why she was violated. Hayeshua Shila, if there's anyone that could save her, we have to do whatever we can to save the Nara Marasa who's about to be violated. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, we mentioned the Bryce earlier. How do we know we see somebody drowning? He's being attacked by animals or listening by an Allah. We have every obligation to save this individual. Ask the Gemara, v'hamehachan nafka, is this the source that teaches this halacha, mehasam nafka? There's a different pasuk that teaches us, the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of Hashavas Aveda, that we have an obligation to return anything that's lost, says the Gemara. Aveda, skufa minayin, how do we know that that halacha only applies? Maybe, does that halacha only apply to return a lost object? How do we know that if a person's life is in danger, the same halacha applies? Tamaloymer v'hashivay soloi. The extra word v'hashivay soloi comes to teach us aveda skufoi, that if the person is in mortal danger, we have to do anything to save him. So why, ask the Gemara, do we need the pasuk of leisam al dam royecha? Why can't we learn it from v'hashivay soloi? Answers the Gemara, ima hasam, if we had only that pasuk, have a mini, that's only when somebody, I have the opportunity to save a person's life, I could do something to save it. But maybe I don't have the obligation to go hire someone to save someone else. Then not only must I personally do whatever I can to save someone else, I even have to hire workers, if so necessary, to save someone else. However, says the Yadrama, that even though the halacha is that I have to hire workers to save someone else, I don't have to use my own money. That I could take money from the victim. However, say the Paiskim, that even though the Rishaitim already say this, that even though we could take the money from the victim, if it's a situation where the victim doesn't have the funds, and I hired someone to save someone else, or to do whatever it takes to save someone else, then I will be held responsible to pay if the victim doesn't have his own funds to pay for such. There are some very important points to be made learning this Gemara. The Masha asks a Gvaldig Akasha. The Masha asks, our Gemara's question is, that why do we need the lav of Eloi Samra Dam Reyecha? And the Pasuk Vashivai Soloi, why do we need both? Ask the Masha, that many times we find in Shas that the Gemara tells us that we need two Pesukim. One Pasuk is to teach us the Mitzvah Eloi Sasei, Eloi Samra Dam Reyecha, and one Pasuk is to teach us the Mitzvah Sasei, Vashivai Soloi. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? Answers the Masha, because in the pasuk of Hashivai Soloi, there is also already a mitzvah loisasei mentioned, because the pasuk says loisucha lasalei. So if the goal here is to have both a mitzvah say and a mitzvah loisa say, all of that is already included in the parasha of Ashi Vaisloi. And therefore the Gemara's question, why do we need the pasuk of Leisamer al Dam Rayecha? Another point, a fascinating 2 point, Michas Chinuch. Michas Chinuch says that we know that halacha is that by Hashavas Aveda, I have to return an object that my friend loses. But let's say I see my friend purposely throwing away his own object, then there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Says the Michas Chinuch, our Gemara should have given the following teretz. Let's say someone is ma'abed atzma ledas rachman atzlan. He's committing suicide. So if the reason to save him is because Ashi Vaisaloi, there is no din of Ashi Vaisaloi if he's committing suicide, suggests the Michas Chinuch, because just like if he throws away his own object, there's no din of Hashavas Aveda, so too if he's committing suicide, there's no din of Ashi Vaisaloi. But perhaps Leisam Adam Reecha would still be applicable. Says the Michas Chinuch, the fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is teretz, so he says a gevaldige chiddush. From here we see that ma'abed atzmai ledas, there's no reason, a person committing suicide, there is no reason to save him. Not because of Ashi Vaisaloi, and not because of Leisam Adam Reecha. However, many, many mefarshim disagree with the Michas Chinuch, and they say that we can't compare the situation of committing suicide to the situation of somebody throwing away a physical object that he owns. Because they quote a Meram Rattenberg that says that we are not the owners of our bodies. We're the owner of our physical objects. And therefore, although it's not the right thing to do, a person has theoretically the ability and the right to throw away the objects that he owns. But a person is not the owner of his body that he has a right to make the decision that he can harm himself or chas v'shalom commit suicide. And therefore they suggest that the reason the Gemara doesn't give the nafkamina is ma'abar atzmi ladas, because not only is there a chiv of leisam al dam rayecha when somebody's committing suicide, but even the chiv of a shivoisaloi certainly applies in such a situation because it's not his to throw away. Similarly, the Michas Chinuch says that why didn't the Gemara give another nafkamina? We know the Gemara says many times regarding the din of Ashi Vaisaloi, regarding the din of Hashavas Aveda, that the halach is a zokei ve'enel fi kvoidoi. If a person is a very important individual, such an individual is not mechuyev to do Hashavas Aveda. Therefore, suggests the Michas Chinuch that just like that Hashi Vaisaloi, to have to go save somebody else would not apply by Zokim Vein Lefi Kvoidoi. But the din of Leisam El Adam Reecha perhaps would apply. So again, the Michas Chinuch suggests the fact that the Gemara didn't give this teretz seems to prove that a Zokim Vein Lefi Kvoidoi not only is not obligated because of Ashi Vaisaloi to save someone else, but he's also not obligated because of Leisam El Adam Reecha. However, I saw Rav Moshe and Rabbi Yoshev take just the opposite view. And they say that there is no ptur, there is no exemption of zokin ve'en elefi kvoidoi when it comes to saving somebody. And Rabbi Yoshev says a gvalde gesvora. He says that how do we make determination if it's zokin ve'en elefi kvoidoi? How do we know if it is or isn't such a situation? He says the way to make that determination is, let's talk about a physical object. If somebody's a distinguished individual and he lost something, if it was his own object, he would go through the bother of saving that object, then he has the obligation to save somebody else's object. But if it's not such a situation where he would leave his own, then he can leave somebody else's also. Says Rabbi Yoshev, who is the person in the world that if he was in danger, and he says, not only if he were in danger, but if one of his children, Rachman al-Tzlan, were in danger, would he not do everything in his power to save his children? So therefore, here too, just like he has the power, he has the obligation to do everything in his power to save his own children, he would certainly do everything to save himself and to save his children. Therefore, he has the obligation to save anyone else also. But then the Rishonim already discuss how far does the person have an obligation to go to save someone else? And to what degree? In other words, do I have to put myself into a situation of sakana or suffix sakana to save someone else? So certainly, all the Rishonim and Paiskim say that one is not obligated to put himself into a sakana, that he himself should be in danger to save someone else. However, the question is, does one have the obligation to put himself into suffix sakana? Dagos Maimonides says that one has an obligation even to put himself into a suffix sakana. However, most Rishonim don't quote the same psak of the Hagos Maimonides, and there is no obligation to put themselves into suffix sakana. And this question comes up very often if one is obligated to, if he has a relative, should he donate a kidney? Should he donate part of his liver for a liver transplant, for a kidney transplant, with somebody whose life is in danger? So the way it seems that the place can hold is as follows. Certainly, as I said, nobody's obligated to put himself into sakana to save someone else. But now, when it's a suffix sakana, the Mishnah Berurah says we have to look at every situation individually. And therefore, says the Mishnah, therefore the Paiskim seem to agree that if it would be a question of donating blood to someone who's in need of blood, we certainly have to donate blood. On the other hand, if somebody is there, perhaps isn't the same level of obligation to donate a kidney, and therefore the halach is that one may donate a kidney to save someone else, but most Paiskim hold that one is not obligated to donate a kidney to save someone else. Says the Gemara, Tana Abonat, Echad Haroidav Achach Haver Lahargoy. If somebody's pursuing someone else to kill him, or Achach Zachar, if they're pursuing him to do Mishkav Zachar, Vachach Nachar Marasa, Vachach Chiv Mises Bezden, Vachach Chiv Ekrisis, in all of these situations, the halacha is Matzilan Oysa Benavshay. We do anything, even if it means killing the pursuer. However, says the Braisa, if it's a situation of Amon al Kain Godel or a Grusha v'chalutzel Kain Hedjet, here it's not such a serious situation, and therefore aim at Tzarein L'Yisav V'Nafshei. Furthermore, Nev Deba Aveira, if, and here we have a Machloikus Rishonim, how to understand Nev Deba Aveira. Rashi seems to learn Nev Deba Aveira, that if this person once did the Aveira, then we don't have an obligation to save the person. Many Rishonim disagree. Meiri says on this Rashi, the Eini Maven Peh Kadosh Heich Amra. How did Rashi say this? If somebody once did an Aveira, what does that have to do with another event? And therefore, the opinion of the Meiri and the opinion of the Rambam is if somebody is already in the middle of doing the Aveira, they're already consented to do the Aveira. So in this circumstance, Emet Sinai Yisrael Benafshoi. But one event has nothing to do with another event. Yesh le Mashiach, if there's a way of saving the woman without killing the attacker, then the halach is emet sinai yisrael benafshei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the Gemara will explain the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on Amud Beis, af haimeris henicha lo shlo yageno, don't kill my pursuer, then we don't kill him. So the Gemara begins to look for a source for these halachas. Menon imili, answers the Gemara, the pasuk says, Amakra ulanara loisasa davar ein lanara chait mavis. Now the entire second half of the pasuk seems to be superfluous. The words ein lanara chait mavis. Now if we look at the way the Torah spells the word nara. The Torah doesn't spell it with a hey at the end. Rather, the Torah spells it nar to teach us, which is a male, to teach us the halacha that we allow to kill someone who's pursuing Mishkav Zachar. Zeh Zachar. Nara, Zu Nara Marasa. The pronunciation is Nara, so if we learn from here that we're allowed to save a Nara Marasa who's being attacked. Chet, comes to teach us that so is the halacha where somebody who's a chayv increases. Mavis is coming to teach us so is the halacha by chayv and mises bezdin. Ask the Gemara, call hani lamali. Why do we need so many different psukim to teach us all these different situations? Answers the Gemara, tzrichi. All of these psukim are required. Dikas rachmana nar. Had the Torah only taught us the halacha regarding mishka zachar, mishum delav urchei, it's not a normal act, and therefore it's considered extremely demeaning. And that's why somebody who's pursuing someone to do mishka zachar may be killed. Av nara, in the situation where nara marasa is being pursued, which is archa, it's a regular type of relation, emaloi, there we may not kill the pursuer. On the other hand, suggests the Braisa, because of Rahmana Nara, if the Torah had only spoken about the halacha by a Nara Marasa, that they were allowed to do anything to stop the pursuer. Mishum the Kampagimla, someone who violates a Nara Marasa debases her, because her husband, who wanted to marry her as a basula, now she will not find that favor in her husband's eyes. Ava Nara like Kampagimla, but in the case of a Mishkav Zacha, where we don't have this situation, Emaloi. That's why the Torah had to speak both about a Nara Marasa and the situation of Mishkav Zachar. Vikas Rachmana Hani. And if the Torah had only spoken about these situations, Mishum Hai, in the situation of Mishkav Zachar, Lavurchehu, it's highly abnormal. Vahai, in the situation of Nara Marasa, Kapagimla, Avashur Arayas, regarding other Arayas, Durchayu, where it's a situation that it's a regular situation of Bia. And furthermore, v'loy nafish pigmayu, it's not such a serious debasing act. Emeloy, the halacha would be perhaps different. That's why the Torah had to write chait to teach us that even by chayv krisis, the chayv mises bezdin, not of mishkav zachar and not of nara marasa, the same halacha applies. Continues the Gemara, v'kas rachmana chait. If the Torah had only written the word chait, we would think, have a mina fil chayv lavin. If a person wants to have relations with a chayv lavin, we could do whatever it takes to stop. That's why kas rachmana mavis. But, says the Gemara, I kas rachmana mavis, had the Torah only written the word mavis, have a mina, chayv mises bezdin in, only in a situation where it's an erva that there's a chiv mises bezdin for that relationship. Chayv krisis loy, but if it's only an erva where there's a chiv krisis, the same halach doesn't apply. That's why kas rachmana, the Torah to write the word chait. Ask the Gemara, v'lichta rachmana chait mavis. So all the Torah should have just written the words chait mavis. And we would not need, ask the Gemara, v'loy boyoy narva nara, we wouldn't need the Torah to teach us narva nara, because the situation of nara marasa and the situation of Mishkav Zachar are both situations where there's a Chiv Mises Bezdin. And if the Torah already taught us through the words Chet Mavis that there's a Chiv Misa, that if it's an Erva for which there is a Chiv Mises Bezdin, then the halach is that such an individual is to be killed, that we have to do anything to stop him. So Mishkav Zachar and Nara Marasa are already included. Why does the Torah have to single them out and teach us a special limud for Mishkav Zachar and Nara Marasa? Answers the Gemara Anachanami, correct. So if so, why do we need the words Nar and Nara? Ela Nar v'Nara, Chalamut Oved Avetz Kechavim, to teach us that somebody who is going to do Avodah Zarah, the forcing somebody to do an Avodah Zarah, somebody's going to be Oved Avodah Zarah, we have no right to kill him, to stop him from doing the Avera. The Chad Lamuti, that the same, we won't kill a person who's going to do Mishka Behema or Chil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Ulur Shim Ben Yechoy. According to the opinion of Shim Ben Yechoy, Dama Oved Avodah Kechavim, Nitin Latzila Ben Avshoy, that the Aloch is, that an Oved Kechavim is, if somebody's going to do Avodah Kechavim, we do whatever we can not to allow him to do Avodah Zarah. So then the pasuk isn't coming to be mamat Avodah Kechavim. So we're back to where we started, Lomali. Why do we need the word Nar? Answers the Gemara, Chad Lamuti Behema, One pasuk will be coming to teach us that in a situation of Mishka Behema, we don't kill the person that's going to do it. And the reason we need a pasuk to teach us so, explains Rashi, is because we would think that perhaps Mishka Behema is included in the category of Arayas. And since we learned before, for the Arayas, we do kill to stop Arayas. Maybe here too we should kill to stop Mishka Behema. That's why we need a pasuk to teach us that we don't kill to stop Mishka Behema. V'chad l'muti Shabbos. And one is to teach us that we don't kill someone to stop him from being mechal Shabbos. So again, the Mefarshim ask, and we've alluded to this question earlier, of course we don't kill to stop somebody from being mechal Shabbos. That would mean that the person who's killing is being mechal Shabbos. So why should I be mechal? Why is my chal Shabbos, that I'm stopping somebody from being mechal Shabbos, more of an issue than his chal Shabbos? So I saw that Sefer Sanhedrin Ketana says what the Gemara means is that not only do I not do anything to stop somebody from being mechal Shabbos if it involves chal Shabbos, of course I shouldn't do my own chal Shabbos, it means also I don't have to take a guy who doesn't have the Issa of Chil Shabbos and tell him, stop that person from being Mechal Shabbos, even if it means to kill that person. The guy doesn't have an Issa, still there is no requirement to do so. Because, says the Gemara, Salkadat Chamina, we would perhaps say that Taisi Shabbos Chil Chil Mavod Kachavim, we should learn the Halacha of Chil Shabbos from the Halacha of Avod Zara. And just like according to Reb Shimon ben Yochai, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we have to do everything in our ability to stop somebody from worshipping Avodah Zarah, even if it means killing. So too should perhaps be the halacha by Chil Shabbos, since by both of these parashas, the Torah uses the words Mechalaleo. By Shabbos, the Torah uses the words Mechalaleo Mois Yumas. By Avodah Zarah, the Torah uses the words Vloisechalel Hashem Elokecha. So we would think they're the same. That's why the pasuk teaches us that we don't treat Shabbos the same as Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, however, according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, Dama Mechal as a Shabbos, Nitein Letzila Benavshoi, that if somebody is going to be Mechal Shabbos, we do whatever we can to stop it, even if it means killing him. That's you, because he indeed learns Shabbos. He learns the Gzeri Shava of Chil Chil Mavodis Kechavim. So now the question is, why do we need both the Pasuk, Nar and Nara, Mai Ika Lameimer? Answers the Gemara. Chad Lemiut Lemuta Behema. One Pasuk is coming to teach us that in a situation of Mishka Behema, there everybody's in agreement, we don't kill to stop that Avera. The Idach. And the other is either the Kasra Rachmana Nar, since the Torah used the word Nar, the Torah Kasra Nami Nara, the Torah says the Kri is Nara, because that's the Parsha that we're speaking about, since the Pasuk is talking about a Nara Marasa, so that's why the Torah, once it mentioned Nar, has to say Nara, because that's the Parsha we're referring to. Rabbi Hudaimer, we learned in the Brice on Amar Aleph, the Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, Af Haimeris, if somebody says, Nichaloi Shloi Hargena, allow this person to violate me, and don't kill him, we don't kill the pursuer. The Rabbanan disagree. Ask the Gemara, B'maikim Afgi, what is the basis of the Machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rava, B'makbedes Al Pigma, U'menichse Shloi Hargena. The woman is a woman that is upset about her being debased, but she doesn't want the person pursuing her to be killed. Rabbanan Savri, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan, a pigma kapod rachmana. The Torah is very concerned that a woman shouldn't be violated. And that's why the Torah taught us, as we learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that if a nara maras rachmana litzlan is being violated, we have to do whatever we can, and we're allowed to do whatever we can to save her. And since here we have a woman that's makbedes al pigma, even though she's not ready necessarily to see her pursuer killed, we're worried about a begam, and we do whatever it takes to save her. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, however, is, Haida kam rachmana katli, the reason the Torah said that we should kill a pursuer is mishum the masra nafshal k'tala. We're concerned that if we won't kill the pursuer. Jewish women who are tsnuas will allow themselves to be killed rather doing such a terrible aveira. Here we have a situation, this woman is prepared not to give up her life anyway, and since she's not going to give up her life, so therefore we have no reason to kill the pursuer. Ask the Mefarshim, if the halacha is that the woman who's being violated is not supposed to give up her life, according to Yehuda, and therefore, according to Yehuda, just like in a situation where we are certain that the woman won't give up her life, we don't have to kill the pursuer, why don't we just teach every Jewish woman that she has no obligation to give up her life, and then we'll never kill a pursuer? Answer the Mefarshim, that Chazal recognized the mentality of Jewish women. And as I said a moment ago, Jewish women are tsnuas, and Chazal were aware that Jewish women will always give up their life rather than do such a terrible act. And even if we will tell them that the halacha allows them to do the act, they won't listen. And that's why, unless we know for sure that this woman will not give up her life, we kill the pursuer. Of course, however, the Mefarshim go on to say, it also has to be coupled in a situation where the Aveira is a very serious Aveira. Because if the entire proba were just, will the woman give up her life, or will the woman not give up her life, so maybe the halacha should be even by a Pnuya, who is a Tsnua, that we should do whatever it takes to save her. The Gemara never suggested that, because the act, the Aveira of a Pnuya is not such a serious Aveira. So we have to have two factors. One factor is that the Aveira has to be a very serious Aveira, coupled with the situation that the woman will give up her life. Amalei Papa Labaya, if the concern is Pagam, so in the situation of Almanal Kam Godel Namika Pogimlo, there's also a Pagam, so why are we not concerned? Amalei, a pigma rabba kapit rachmana. The Torah was concerned about a very great level begam, a pigma zuta like kapit rachmana, but on a lower level begam, which is the situation of a malachai and gadol, the Torah wasn't so concerned about begam. I saw a very interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Eger asks, what will be the halacha if someone is pursuing to have relations with a nida? In the situation of having relations with a nida, on one hand, the woman who has relations with, and the child born from relations with a nida is not a mamzer. The woman doesn't become a zoyna. But on the other hand, it's a chiv krisis. What will be the halacha? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that this is actually a machlokes of the Rambam and Rashi. According to the Rambam, a nida is treated like all other arayas. And if somebody is pursuing a woman to have relation as a nida, we'll let it do whatever it takes to stop it. According to Rashi, we don't treat a nida like all other rayas, because there's no concept of her becoming a zoyna through such an act, or her children becoming mamzerim through such an act. We learned that the Braisa taught us that the pasuk says chet comes to teach us elu chai v'krisis, that in a situation of somebody is pursuing a woman of which there's a chiv krisis, we're allowed to kill him. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, the Mishnah says in Masechet Ketubos, Eila Na'arus She'esh Lam Knas Habala Choisoi. If somebody has relations with his sister, against her will, she's allowed to collect the knas of 50 shekel. Now, ask the Gemara, we've learned that there's a concept of Kimalei B'Drabmanei. And if such a person is allowed to be killed, why should he be chayiv to pay the knas? Amaru Rabbanan Kamedra of Chizda, Mishas Ha'aru the Pagma, as soon as he does Ha'ra, the Begam is in place. Iftala Miktala, so therefore, as we've been learning, why is he going to get killed? Because he was Pagamar. He demeaned her. But after he did Ha'ra, that is no longer a factor. However, the chiv knas only comes ad gmar bia. And as we've learned, when do we apply the concept of Kimlei B'drabbanei. We apply the concept of Kimlei B'drabbanei when both punishments come at the same time. Here, the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon don't come at the same time, and therefore we don't apply the concept of Kimlei B'drabbanei. Ask the Gemara, Hanich L'mandam Ha'arah Zun Neshika. According to Mandam, the Ha'arah means just when there's touching. So the Gemara's teretz makes sense. However, ask the Gemara, El L'mandam Ha'arah Zun Achnasa Satara. So if so, the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Knas come at the same time. Michael Amemer, why don't we say Kimlei B'drabbanei El Amar Chizda? Kigon Shabala Shloi Kedarka. It's referring to a situation where the brother first had relations with her Shloi Kedarka, V'chazu Bala Kedarka, and then he had beer with her Kedarka. So as far as the issue of Pagam, the begam was done with the first beer, but the chiyuv knas. So afterwards, if he was boil her the second time, he won't be chayiv misa. We don't kill him because he already did this act once, and therefore the fine is applicable, but not the chiyuv misa. The Yad Ramah in fact points out the Gemara could have spoken about a case where he violated her Shloi Kedarka both times. That the halacha is that the second time there won't be a Chiyuv Misa, but there'll be a Chiyuv Knas. The Gemara, however, chose a case where the second Biyah was a Biyah Kedarka to teach us a Chiddush, that even though the second act was a Biyah Kedarka, where he created a situation that she's no longer a Psula, still it's not considered a situation of Pagam, where it should be Chai Misa, given that he already did the first act. Another answer, Rav Amar B'Menichas Shloi Argana. We're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that in a situation where she allows the attacker, where she says, don't kill the attacker, then the attack is not Chai Misa, and therefore there'll be a Chai Knas. Papa wants to give a teretz to explain the Rishonim. The Gemara actually says it, that it's a situation of Mefuta. On the foot, there's no Chiyuv Misa because she was seduced and she therefore agreed to this situation. So there's no Chiyuv Misa. But as the Torah teaches us, that by Mefuta, there still is a Chiyuv Knas, and that's what the Mishnah in Masechta Ksuvos is referring to. Our Gemara taught us the halacha, the one has a Chiyuv to save someone else. Certainly, say the Paiskim, if we have a Chiyuv to save someone else, we certainly have a Chiyuv to prevent someone else from being put into a situation of danger. And that's why the Paiskim say the halacha is that if somebody has a disease or sickness that could be caught by someone else, he has the obligation to notify the people who he comes in contact with that he has a disease or he has a cold. Don't come close to me, that you shouldn't get sick yourself. Furthermore, I saw from Bochanan Wasserman that he says that if Al Gemara says that we have a chiyuv to be matzel, to physically be matzel somebody else, not always do we have the ability to physically be matzel someone else. We don't necessarily know about the person, we're not in proximity, or we don't have the physical ability to save him. But what we always have the ability is to daven for somebody else. And therefore, included in the mitzvah of Lo Samra Al Dam Re'echa, including in the mitzvah of a Shavoy, is to daven and to learn Torah b'schus for somebody else, that they should have a Hatzolah and a Yeshua.